Good morning, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Barber Marina, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazines, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Troller Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications, invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our store at www.greatloop.org, Ship Store. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. As Beth said, this is the AGLCA, America's Great Loop Cruisers Association, weekly blog radio. As usual, we have me, Janice Cromer, the director, and Steve Cromer, our technician and jack-of-all-trades. For those non-members listening to the show, there is actually a continuous waterway around the eastern portion of the United States. Our association, AGLCA, was developed for people to share the sense of adventure and curiosity about the loop. Our association's main purpose is to give everyone information and enhance the overall experience. Our website is www.greatloop.org. There's loads of free information that you can educate yourself with, and we'd love for you to become a member. We're very happy to introduce the Guild this week as our guest host. John and Mary have been cruising the Chatham Riverway numerous times, and they're going to talk about their current trip. John and Mary, thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Start off with, why did you pick the Chatham as your side trip this summer?
Well, we're from Pensacola, Florida, and we typically do the Gulf Coast of Florida, and recently we've done the Gulf Coast across the Okeechobee and down to the Keys and around, and we do that, you know, a different time of year to in consonance with the hurricane season. So we wanted to do something this year that got us away from the Gulf Coast during the hurricane season and showed us a different part of the country. Certainly the Chatham does that.
How many times have you done the Chatham now? I know it's several times, isn't it?
Well, this is, to be honest, this is really our first time.
Really? I misunderstood. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Actually, we've been up, and now we're heading back. So we've got 1.5 Chathams under our belt.
How long have you been on the river at this point?
About 6 weeks.
Very nice, Chip. So you'll be home after maybe two months after you started?
About that, yeah. Certainly you can do it. We've had friends do it quicker, but it's nice to take your time and take a look around because that's why we're here.
What do you cruise at? What speed?
7.2 knots, which gets me a little better than 8 miles an hour.
Fantastic. That's about our cruising speed. We've been a little bit faster when the wind tighter in our direction or our favor. Tell us about the river. I've really never been in that section of the country except to go to our rendezvous at Joe Wheeler, and that's always by truck to bring to Ship Store. What is the river like? Are there marinas? Are there a lot of anchorages? What is more popular?
Well, there are two sections to the river. The lower Chatham, which starts at mile marker 1 in Mobile, Alabama, and runs up here to Demopolis at the Black Warrior River. And the Black Warrior River runs then to the northeast towards Birmingham. And that's a busy waterway as far as tows are concerned. There's a lot of commercial traffic flowing from the Birmingham, Alabama area down the Black Warrior and the Chatham to Mobile, Alabama, to the port. Then the second part of the Chatham is really the waterway part, and that's from Demopolis up to Pickwick Lake at the juncture of the Tennessee River. And it's maybe two or three different landscapes as you travel from Mobile to the Tennessee River.
Uh-huh.
So the lower portion is it's wild and woolly compared to the upper portion. It snakes and turns and it's really a southern coastal river. And then when you get up here to Demopolis, after you get through two locks, you get through one at Coffeyville and then at Demopolis, you get into a more picturesque and there's straighter portions of the river, 1 or 2, 3 mile sections of the river, which are pretty straight. You don't have the hair. And then you get up to above Bay Springs or to the Bay Springs area, and it's a pretty much above Bay Springs is a canal that takes you to Pickwick to the Tennessee River. So you don't get bored, that's for sure.
I was surprised. I thought it was all one kind of straight loop, straight trip, straight down. I guess it's not. What is the scenery like this time of the year? Have the fall colors come in yet?
They're just about coming in, and the folks that will be leaving Joe Wheeler at the end of October, we're really going to get to see them. We noticed yesterday that the colors were changing just a little bit. We're a little bit ahead of it.
Uh-huh. What are your favorite anchorages?
Well, Bay Springs. It's got to be Bay Springs. The water at Bay Springs is crystal clear. And even this time of year, it's fine to swim. I think we were there the other day, and the water temperature was 84 degrees, so it's easy to swim in, and it's a crystal clear lake. Beautiful. We anchored in at least 3 or 4 different spots in Bay Springs, and every one of them is beautiful.
For some reason, I didn't think of crystal clear water in the rivers. I think of it more muddy and not swimmable. That's beautiful.
Oh, up there, it's wonderful. I would encourage everyone to take the time to anchor, and if they want to clean their boat, to do that, or just to swim around. It's beautiful.
And you said there's at least 3 or 4 anchorages in that area?
Oh, there's more than 3 or 4 anchorages. There's an area called Five Fingers, and you can go in, and off of the Five Fingers, there are several different anchorages back in there, Janice.
There must be 100 different places to anchor.
Really? Now, in your experience, do you see a lot of boats in those anchorages, or is it pretty isolated?
We were there on... Through two different times, on the way up and the way back, and I think we were there for a holiday weekend, and there were a few boats that we saw, and then on the way back on a Saturday, we saw a couple boats that were kept their boats at the marina at Bay Springs, and then they were going to head out to Pickwick for a week or so. But it's not crowded at all. In fact, you'll get into those anchorages, and you'll think you're the only person in the world.
Oh, I really envy you being out there. I'm looking over in Charleston, and it's still in the high 80s, and I just want it to be fall pretty soon. We'll be at Wheeler in about 3.5 weeks, so that'll be good. You mentioned a marina. Are there a lot of marinas on the waterway, or do you need mostly to anchor?
Well, the southern portion of the waterway for the 7-knot boats, there's one... a fish camp, a stop, and that's it. That's Bobby's Fish Camp.
Bobby's, I've heard of that.
Right above the Coffeyville Lock. Other than that, it's time to anchor, and then until you get to Demopolis.
Uh-huh.
And then Demopolis on up, you're gonna need to anchor again because there's nothing before Columbus. So for the 7-knot boats, there's a requirement to anchor in between Columbus or Demopolis and Columbus.
Okay. I think we're going to break for a quick commercial, if you don't mind. Steve, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Homeport Marina is the Alabama Gulf Coast premier facility, located in beautiful Gulf Shores, Alabama. Amenities include concrete floating docks, 30, 50, and 100-amp electrical services, Valtech gasoline and diesel, phone, cable, Wireless internet is available, pump-out facilities, and 24-hour restrooms, showers, and laundry. Homeport Marina is a proud commander sponsor of the AGLCA. For more information, visit www.homeportmarina.net.
Thank you. I think you basically told us about your favorite spots, but is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, we traveled up through Pickwick Lake up the Tennessee River to Joe Wheeler on this trip, and we did that because our children live in Huntsville, just outside of Huntsville in Madison, Alabama, and we were surprised with the visits from them and our granddaughter three times while we made the trip. And that was it was really special.
Well, I guess that was the highlight of your trip. Well, maybe not.
That was certainly a highlight to see our granddaughter at the dock meeting us. That was fun.
Was that a total surprise?
At Grand Harbor, it was. We just pulled into the dock, and we were just tying off our lines, and I looked up, and I thought, oh, my gosh, that looks like our children and granddaughter.
Oh, how fantastic.
I had
a similar type experience. We, our home port is Bohickett Marina, and we were pulling in from a cruise, and I looked up, and I saw the three grandkids running down the dock, and it was like, oh, isn't that special? It's a great feeling.
It really is.
That was.
I don't want to be negative, but were there any lowlights of the trip that you'd like to tell us about?
In Bay Springs, one night we were there when some severe weather came through.
Really?
And, you know, when you anchor up in one of those little coves, you don't have a lot of swing room, so you're really judicious about how much scope you put out. And we had about a 4.5 to 1, and I thought that was going to hold us. And it did until about midnight, and it was darker than anything, and the wind was blowing at, I saw 32 knots coming down, right down the cove. And then I checked on something else, and the next thing I knew, we were dragging anchor because we were looking at some trees coming up on us pretty quickly. So we had to get the anchor up and maneuver using radar to get resituated. So that was the low light.
Really, it's a whole trip.
Adventure.
It was adventure, that's for sure.
Do you plan to stay? You're headed home to Pensacola soon, or you're on your way there now, and that's where you'll be staying, or do you have another trip planned?
No, we're heading back to Pensacola. We're going to put the boat in the yard for a little bit to get some work done on it, and then won't venture out again until maybe February. And I'm not sure where we're going to go in February. We'll make a couple short trips, but we're definitely coming back here next year. You know, Mary just reminded me. She said, you know, the highlight of the trip, when we went to Grand Harbor's very close and Aqua up there in Pickwick are very close to the Shiloh Battleground. And we took a day, took one of their cars, and they were gracious enough to let us take the car for the whole day, and we went to Shiloh and toured the battlefield. And I would certainly recommend that to anyone coming through the waterway.
I have heard other members mention that it's quite a moving experience, and it's very, very worthwhile to go see that. I think it was Audrey Staley at one of our rendezvous mentioned it was just a very worthwhile experience to go. Steve, you've been really quiet. Do you have any questions, comments?
Nope.
Okay, well, John and Mary, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
We do have something. You know, we walked through the locks in Lake Okeechobee, and they're sort of miniature compared to the locks here on the Ten Tom and up further. And, you know, you never really get a chance to talk to the lock masters unless you're lucky. And we were very lucky to meet a lock master at the Heflin Lock just north of here in Alabama. And this gentleman, his name's Michael, took the time give us some pointers and some tips and some cautions and some words of encouragement about going through the locks and the waterway system. It was really, really a super individual, great, great person. Gave us a couple safety pointers that are probably worth pointing out but sharing with the audience.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you.
The first thing he said is make sure before you throw your line over the pin that you take a look and make sure there aren't any hitchhikers, he said, because sometimes you get some snakes riding up and down. He recommended some wasp spray so that whoever putting the line over the side on the pin could spray the pin down with spray that would chase away anything that's there. And I thought that was a pretty good tip.
I think that's great.
Wasp cans there on the bower.
Wow. Couple questions I forgot to ask, John. First of all, water depths, how are they now this year?
No problem at all on the 10 Tom.
Good, okay. It's just upper the Illinois, that's the problem in the Mississippi. Are there any navigational challenges, or is it fairly easy to navigate the 10 Tom?
It's straightforward. The reds are on the right or the reds are on the left, depending upon which direction you're going to go.
Uh-huh.
It's well marked. And the hazards are the towboats that you need to keep an eye on. You know, make sure you communicate with those fellows, agree to a side to pass on. And when you're passing one of the big ones that's pushing a bunch of barges around, he's really churning up the water, and make sure you got enough room to get around him and safely.
That's true of any navigation with tugboats. It's just, you need to communicate. Stupid question on my part. What channel do they communicate on the 10 Tom?
They're all on 16. All the boats are on 16.
Okay, well, I don't have any other questions. Unless you'd like to add something, I think we'll say thank you very much.
Well,
the one comment
that I have is, people talk about the tugboat captains up there, and they speak Southern, so you need a translator. Do you have any problem with them?
No. I tell you, they were very friendly, very helpful. And, if you need them to back off to get around, they'll generally do that. Just ask them.
Yeah, well, believe it or not, we don't have the size of the tows that they have up there, but down in our area, you have a lot of one-barge tows on the ICW. And I will call them on the radio and say, let me know when it's okay to pass. And they're happy as it can be to do that. I mean,
you definitely have to do that on the 10 Tom because there's some of those turns they may not want you to pass on.
Well, he also is going to know that river a whole lot better than we do.
That's for sure.
John, do you have AIS on your boat, or did you just cut it? Use the radio to communicate and see what was coming, or try to find out what was coming around the turns.
We just used the radio, but I can imagine AIS would be very helpful.
You think so? You would recommend it?
I would recommend it, but here's something I'm going to do the next trip. I'm going to take a whiteboard, and I was in the Navy. We kept track of all our targets on the bridge of the ship. And Mary would keep notes of who's who, and we'd hear them and sort of try to figure out where they were and when we were going to see them. That keeps your mind busy while you're driving the boat, but it's also good for safety reasons. But you can be your own AIS, or AIS would be nice to have, certainly would.
Okay. Steve, anything else?
No, ma'am.
Okay, John and Mary, safe cruising.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. It's good talking to you.
Put a posting in the discussion forum when you're back home. And, again, thank you very much for helping out today.
Okay.
That's all for now, everyone. Our shows are archived at www.greatloop.org. If you'd like to become a member, just join AGLCA on the menu on the left. And everyone have a great week. Thank you.
Bye-bye, y'all.